the methodology of understanding fiqh, and also the termination of hadith, and the tajweed of the Quran, and other topics which we have to remind you here to follow. This is state number one in Iman. We try to make the topic short and crisp and to the point. And if you have any questions, inshallah, we can leave 10 minutes in each tape, then we can answer your question. But if it is regarding the topic which we already talked about, because we don't want to provoke other topics which they are coming, and it will answer itself, to save ourselves time and to use the time somewhere else. Right. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي. Okay, my dear brothers, now the topic about Iman. Why do we use the word Iman now, while everybody else in our time have forgotten the word Iman and using the word Aqeedah? We are using the word Iman because now the shaitan is playing his role, trying to make the people understand that Iman, it is not as important as Aqeedah. And using the word Aqeedah to give ideas about the theoretical activity of Iman, to strip Iman from a lot of the important action. Although the word Aqeedah was used by many of the great scholars like Ibn Taymiyyah and like Ahmad ibn Hanbal, but this word Aqeedah was not used in the time of the Sahaba, and this word Aqeedah was not used in the time of the Tabi'een or Tabi'een al-Tabi'een. And also, surprise, surprise, it has never been mentioned in the Quran. So it's dangerous. The word Aqeedah was initially used in the time of Ahmad ibn Hanbal and the time of the great scholars, because the steps of Iman or the branches of Iman were fulfilled. The action which is related to Iman were fulfilled. And the first bid'ahs, when it came, it was challenging the ideas of the people in the people's mind, without anybody challenging the authority of Islam, without anybody challenging the actions of Muslims which is related to Islam, without anybody allowing kufr to pass kufr al-amali, which is the kufr by action, to pass or to be done in the front of the faces. So they've used the word the Aqeedah at this time because the bid'ah came from the point of view of the mind. It didn't come from the point of view of the action. People have ideas in their mind, and similar like what happened in the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Yes, some people have their idea in their mind which transferred into action, like the Khawarij, but at this time, the terminology was still preserved. Nobody dared to introduce the word Aqeedah, because you know the Sahaba and the Tabi'een were very, very sensitive when it comes to introduce a term. When it comes to Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Rahimahullah, they introduced the term Aqeedah because the people who were actually borrowed their bid'ah from the Greeks, they always introduced many new terms. So in this time, this word introduced, Aqeedah. For the ulama to answer back their batil, to answer back their bad ideas, and to redefine the terminologies which they have invented in Islam, resulting that they said the Quran is created, taking some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even deliberately, but thinking that to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can take some of the attributes out because they don't think it suits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people start using their mind in Islam, but they have not stopped to do the action. They have not stopped the praying. They have not stopped ruling by Allah's law. They have not stopped fighting the kafirs. They have not stopped loving and hate for the sake of Allah. They have not stopped any major thing which is regarding to Iman. So the word Aqidah at this time, it was a suitable term to describe the bid'ahs, which is the innovations which came in their time, because simply it did not touch very much the actions of the Ummah or the actions of many of the individuals. It only touches the minds and the ideas, even though it was a kafir idea, and it was some of this idea was kufr to be announced. So they give it the right term, Aqidah. Then people start using the term Aqidah for any innovation come to Islam. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and many of them, they start using the word Aqidah, and the word Aqidah were accepted, alhamdulillah, according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But when it comes in our time now, that the word Aqidah is abused and misused, and people try to replace the whole Iman with the word Aqidah, here we stop. Because we have now in our time the bid'ah of love and hate in the Aqidah, forgetting to love and hate in Iman. That you can love somebody, you say, I love him, his Aqidah is right. I like this person, his Aqidah is right. I love him for the sake of Allah because his Aqidah is right. Even though he's a thief, even though he's a pro-apostate government, even though he is not doing his obligations in Islam, but because he says by his tongue that he believes in so and so, and he does not believe in such and such, because he says by his tongue, we give him all loyalty without any reservation. This is a bid'ah way of thinking. It was not in the time of the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they used to say to the people, we like you for the sake of Allah, or we hate you for the sake of Allah, according not only to according to their belief, but also according to what they say, and also according to what they do. Like Ibn Umar, when he said to one of the people, I hate him for the sake of Allah because he gets paid about the adhan, and because he is doing singing in the adhan, he's doing lahn. عَلَى إِنِّي أَبْغُضُكَ فِي اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ And he said, why? He said, he takes, إِنَّهُ يَتَغَنَّى فِي الْآذَانِ وَيَأْخُذُ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا Ibn Umar. Because he is singing in the adhan, without following the rules of tajweed, or the way of the adhan, and he also is taking a price for his adhan, where there is a nahi from Rasulullah ﷺ not to do that. So, even for the actions of the Sahaba, and this is a part of Iman. Again, if you see from the definition of Iman, as we are going now, inshallah, to express in this tape or maybe in the other tapes coming, that Iman has many branches. Many, many branches. Well, Aqidah, it doesn't fulfill the requirements of Iman. Aqidah is only the theoretical part of Iman. And Iman is not about the theory. Iman is a say by the tongue, as we're going to define it, and a belief by the heart, and an action or actions by the body, which increase and decrease. Well, while Aqidah, if you know about something, that's it. And according to the definitions of Aqidah, that the word Aqidah, if you use about the attributes of Allah and about the knowledge what you need to know about Allah, then it's a very rigid definition, and it's a very, very small maneuver area to start applying Islam in full, to become an active Muslim, to love and hate for the sake of Allah, to kill for the sake of Allah, or to be killed in the cause of Allah. So it is very limited cause and doesn't give much of a guideline. This is why this word was not used in the book, in the holy book, or even in the hadith, or even in the three main generation. So this is in short why we are using this word only when the people understand about Iman, then we can use the word Aqidah for those who understand about Iman. Because those who are not understand about Iman, those who are not filling the requirements of Iman, when they use the word Aqidah, obviously they have gone very long way wrong by thinking that they can love only because of Aqidah and hate only because of Aqidah. And if a person does, even if a person does big sins, or like leaving jihad, not saying al-amru ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar, and not fulfilling his requirements from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not giving the da'wah fi sabilillah according to the conditions of Iman. So this is a short explanation why we should use the word aqidah. Of course, we cannot say to anybody who is using the word aqidah, you are bid'ah, because that means we are too harsh on them. But what we are saying, if somebody, we see him use the word aqidah, we'll see what has he left from the branches of iman or the cornerstones of iman, and then we tell him, right, you are using the word aqidah wrongly, because what you should, in your case, you should consider iman, and if your iman is fulfilled, and something about the theory of iman, let us use the word aqidah as the Salafi people have used it. Because nowadays, unfortunately, we see people, they say about other people, their aqidah is right, and they are working as judges with law other than Allah's law. Somebody say his aqidah is right, and what he's doing? Legislating, making himself a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in only God's matter. Other person said his aqidah is right, the man, he knows that Allah is in the sama and the attributes of Allah, but he does not practice this attribute, as we will explain the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has right, after knowing what is the attribute of Allah, you should know what is right for that attribute and how you respect that. So that was that. Right, when the second question comes, I must also stress, as it will come before I go to the second question, that is, some terms are used now in our time, again, even worse than the abuse of the word aqidah, has been used to disable Islam, like the word tarbiyah. Like the word tarbiyah. Where is tarbiyah come from? Tarbiyah, it didn't come from the Quran. You will not find it in the Quran. Yeah, as we said, like the word tarbiyah is used now, which tarbiyah means education, upbringing, looking after the ummah in general with regard to their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the word, although it was not mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah or the first three generations which we are obliged to follow, but it has the meaning. We are not objecting about the meaning. We are objecting about the misuse of the meaning. That although the meaning did, the term did not exist, and we are willing to accept it, but no way we're going to accept it as a new term which will stop people from enjoying the good, forbidding the evil, and doing jihad in the cause of Allah. This is not acceptable. And when the people start using this new term to stop what we know exactly from the Quran is right and an obligation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished for leaving that obligation, obviously we have to leave what we don't know to what we know really and correctly, and we are strong about. We know that jihad is an obligation, we know that enjoining the good is an obligation, we know forbidding the evil is an obligation, but the word tarbiyah is new. It's contradicting now, contradicting this now, used by many of the people who fear everything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they want us to stop doing our obligation for a term which they have invented. We say, thank you very much, you can swallow your term, we don't want to know about it. And the same, like they say, tasfiyah, they call it like seeking people to get to know who's good and who's bad, but without, these terms are only used by shaitan to stop people from doing their obligation, jihad. And why the word tarbiyah should only come when before jihad? Why doesn't it come before fasting? Why doesn't it come? Why every time the word jihad or fighting, you find people are inventing terms? Oh, tarbiyah, oh, tasfiyah, oh, this, why? Why you don't have that jump when we mention the word fasting or praying or doing hajj? Why you don't have to have tarbiyah before you do hajj? In fact, you should have tarbiyah before you do hajj. And the disbeliever people who are now ruling Saudi Arabia, they should make sure that the people who do hajj, this is the time for people to have tarbiyah, because they will be left in their own once they come to the peninsula. Some of them will be kneeling to the grave of Rasulullah, some will be going around the grave as if they go to Mecca. So these are the people you should tell them about tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is before hajj, not before jihad, because jihad is the tarbiyah. Anyway, it's not the matter for it now. I'm just giving some points why we should avoid these new terms, which we don't know exactly how the shaitan is going to end up with us, or how we're going to end up with the shaitan going along that path. And we should know, and we should use what the terms which is being introduced by the Quran and understood by the Sahaba and compatible with the Sunnah. Otherwise, we are introducing to ourselves innovations which we cannot afford. And in the end of the day, if we accept these terms without and make them an obstacle to fulfill our requirements, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will twist our hearts and we will not know eventually what is right and what is wrong, and we're going to end up like sheeps running after each blow. Now we move to a second question. Why do we have to learn Iman before the other knowledge? It is really the way of the Sahaba. People sometimes leave in the leave in Iman and they go and they learn fiqh and they learn about they learn maybe tajweed and they learn other things, and they learn hadith. And this is why you can find a lot of Sufi people are very good at the hadith, even better than Albani. And even Albani himself is using a lot of their knowledge, like the people is called Al-Ghumariya. People Ghumari, they are very fanatic Sufis in Morocco. And they are very good when it comes to hadith, because the hadith, it has its own 1, 2, 3 way of knowing the hadith. It has experience of the names of the Sahaba and this and that and the other. But when it comes to their aqidah, or when it comes to their iman, then their iman is really nothing. So even though they are ulama when it comes to fiqh, even though they are ulama when it comes to hadith, ulama when it comes to the Arabic language, ulama when it comes to the tafsir, but when it comes to the iman, they fail in their foreheads without any protection, simply because they make up the theoretical part of iman, which is aqidah, and also sometimes they don't practice their obligations in iman, so they will be distorted, like a person will have one shoulder very high up, the other shoulder very much lower down. They are not even. But the way of the Sahaba and the way what the Quran taught the Sahaba is علمنا الإيمان قبل أن يعلمنا القرآن. The Sahaba used to say that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he taught us about iman before he taught us about Islam. So the Sahaba, they learn iman. Iman is the language of the heart. Iman is the language of the nature. Iman is the language of the mind. Iman is compatible with the body. Iman is how to grade and to ascend your soul. So learning that, it will make your body a temple for the Quran and the Islamic knowledge. Once it enters inside, if you have the right iman, your body will be hollow, full of nothing. Then you fill it with iman. Then you will shine to yourself as a person, to your family as a guide, and to your community as a benefit person. You're not going to be full of cancer yourself. You have other ideas than Islam, which you don't know which is right and which is wrong. And that will obviously affect your knowledge, obviously affecting your desire. If your knowledge is wrong, your desire will obviously be wrong, and your desire is wrong, your ability is okay, then your action will be wrong. Your action will be wrong as a person, your action will be wrong as a man of a house, charge of his own household, your action will be wrong as a soldier of Allah, and obviously if you are a leader, your action will reflect in everybody you are controlling, and you will pull them away from the straight path of Allah. So iman is the language of the Quran, is the motive of the action, is the strength on the path. We have to learn iman. We have to learn iman. Because also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made iman as the way he will reward or punish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made iman as the way he will reward and punish. He didn't say aqidah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you'll never be punished because of your aqidah only, or you'll never be praised because of your aqidah. You will be praised because of your iman. And you will be punished because of your iman. Why? Because iman, it has everything. Iman, it has everything, as you know from the definition. It's something to do with the heart. It's something to do with the tongue. It's something to do with the action. It has everything. So this is why the Sahaba were taught iman first. The sequence of the success in this life and in the hereafter is knowledge starting with iman, and then the Quran, which will give the after you have the iman and the strength to to read the Quran and the motive to do the action which Allah asks you, then when you read the Quran, you will understand the Quran. You will believe the stories in the Quran, and you will comply with the orders in the Quran, and you will fear the news to come, the unseen, what the Quran tell you. If you don't have iman to you, they will all be sentences to you, and you will follow what you have in your mind, and the shaitan will play with your mind as he plays with the football, and he will give you false promises. Because if you don't have iman, if you don't know about Allah, if you don't know about yourself, if you don't know about your surrounding, then the shaitan will play with your mind. When you read the Quran, then every time you read about Jannah, the shaitan will tell you, it's yours. Who deserves Jannah more than you? You're reading the Quran in the middle of the night, you're crying. Who deserves Jannah more than you? Look at the people who don't even believe in the Quran. And those who believe in the Quran, they don't even read it. And those who read it, they don't even obey it. But you're reading the Quran. So Jannah is for you. Don't worry about anything else. You are a good, holy man. And then when you read about the fire, you'll say, fire, of course, this is for the kafirs, this is for the mushriks, this is for the people who don't believe in Allah. This will never be for you. And then when you read about the actions, the hard actions like the jihad, or enjoining the good, or forbidding the bad, or the evil, or paying for the sake of and the cause of Allah, or getting, fighting and killing, or getting killed in the cause of Allah, then he will tell you, but he surely, you know, it's not the time for it, this is for the Sahaba. So the Jannah for you, and the fire is for the kafirs, and the big action is for the Sahaba. And obviously, there is no more big game from the shaitan against you other than this. But if you have iman, when you read the Quran, the shaitan cannot play with your mind. If you know the language of iman, when you read about Jannah, you'll say, I hope to go to Jannah. He will not guarantee you Jannah. You will be crying because you can visualize Jannah from as if you see it behind the net curtain, as if you can see it. It's just a matter of you to go into that. You can see shadows. You cannot see exactly what is in Jannah. But you want to go in. You're certain it's there. You can't see the faces. You can't see the resolution. But you know it's there. The promises are right. Because your iman is right. And you will not be guaranteed Jannah by the shaitan. In fact, you will hope for Jannah, you will cry, you want to go to Jannah, you want to carry the responsibilities and the orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you want to go to Jannah. I want to go, give me some responsibilities, I want to go. So when the responsibility is dictated to you, do this and don't do that, you are prepared to do that, you're willing. And whatever it comes from Allah, even getting killed in the cause of Allah, it becomes very simple and very easy and not a very big price according to what you see from your heart, that Jannah is there, next door, is near, I can see it. So that way the shaitan will not play with a good believer. If he is a good believer and he knows about iman, he will not play with his mind. He knows it's something true, solid. He has to pay something true and solid. Something about Jannah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he promised you about Jannah, then you know Jannah is very dear, very big price. Then it is different. It doesn't mean that you're going to pay £3 a week or stand in, put in a table like some people. This is all what is your link to Islam. Attending one circle every week and pay £3 a week and that's it. That's all what you want to do about Islam. Or go in 40 days or 45 days or 60 days or 1 year and then you come back to normal, which is abnormal according to Islam. No. You know, Jannah, it's given without account. That means when you give the religion of Allah, you also give it without account. And this is why the people who die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat them differently. Those who die shaheed, they give Allah without account. The reward it becomes without account. But those who die accounting, I'm doing this prayer, I'm going to pay 2.5% of my... Those who are accounting, they will get paid by account. Because they're accounting for Allah. Allah will account for them. Those who give Allah without account, they don't mind what to lose in the cause of Allah. They are not after any gains except the Jannah and the blessing of Allah. Those are the people who will be paid also without account. Because al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, the reward is according to your action. If you give Allah with reservation, you will be given more than what you give, but with account, scale and weight. But if you give Allah without a scale, anything is for Allah, money, life, body, wife, anything, community, anything for Allah is very cheap, then you expect that Allah is more generous than you and you will have the pay without account. This is the language of belief. And when the fire comes, you'll find yourself terrified, even though you're doing very good things, but you don't know. You don't know. You think that Allah, that something you are doing good, that then the shaitan will ask you, oh, but you're not that good, you're doing this for people to show people that you are good, to show off. You're not really that good person. So even when the fire, the say of the fire comes in the Quran, then you will be afraid how much of your action is accepted. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end up your life. You will always be worried. So the shaitan is away from you. That you hope to go to Jannah, but you're not certain. And you fear to go to the fire, but you're hopeful. And you know that to avoid fire and to go to Jannah, you need obligations, heavy obligations. So when they go to the scale, they go bang, and nothing else could take them away. Like shahada in the cause of Allah, like da'wah, like saying the truth, like paying the charity, upsetting the kafirs and blessing the Muslims and helping this and that. Big action, which cannot be counterpart from the other side to be taken. And you have to avoid that the scene of people or what people think about you. It is the last of your mind. So this is why Iman is the direction, is the guard, is the goalkeeper for the verses from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make sure that it goes into the right direction of the mind, and consequently your action will be according to that understanding, to that belief, to that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we move to another question. What is the difference between Iman and Islam? Actually, there is some difference between Iman and Islam if the words are separate. According to the definition of Iman, that the good holy people, they define Iman as a say by the tongue. Iman is a say by the tongue, and a belief by the heart, and an action by the body, which is increases by action and decreases by not doing action. Increases by obedience and decreases by disobedience. This is Iman, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah defined it. This is Iman when it comes to the definition of Iman. Other people define Iman as مَا وَقَرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَصَدَّقَهُ الْعَمَلِ. Whatever is established in the heart, backed by the action. Whatever is established by your heart, backed by your action. By your action, if it's a say, or if it's a, or if it is a work by the body. From all these definitions from people, and also from the definitions by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة. About 70 and more branches. Iman is about 70 and more branches. أعلاها, the peak of which is saying لا إله إلا الله. وأدناها, and the lowest of Iman is to remove dirt or to remove harm things from the way of people. والحياء شعبة من شعب الإيمان. And being shy is also a branch of Iman. Being humble and shy is a branch of Iman. So according to this hadith, نعم, والحياء شعبة من شعب الإيمان. That being shy is a branch from the branches of Iman. From this hadith you will find, brothers, that Iman, a say by the tongue. So Iman is not only a say, like some of the latest Hanafi or the Hanafi say Iman is only a say. It's not a say. It's a say according to this hadith. And what is the bottom line of Iman? He said, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, imatatul adha min al-tariq. Is to remove harm from the way. That removing harm, is that a say or an action? Action. So if somebody said to you, Iman is only a say, you tell him, no, the hadith said it's a say, an action, and also say it's a feeling. Because being shy is a feeling. It is not action. It is not say, it's a feeling. So Iman is something to do with the heart, something to do with the action, the body, and it's something to do with the tongue. But if we analyze this hadith as in the other hadith are also other hadiths are saying, you will find that if a man, as Rasulullah said, is the saying La ilaha illallah by the tongue, but the tongue hasn't got anything to do but saying. So it is the action by the tongue. Yeah, the tongue is got only two work. One work with regard to iman. One work is to mention Allah and to announce the shahada. The first work is to enter you to Islam. The second work is to make sure that you are still in the boundary of Islam by avoiding saying kufr and by saying always Islamic things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's dhikr of Allah, reading the Quran, enjoining the good, forbidding the bad, and inviting people in the cause of Allah. So in fact, the people, when they say it's a say by the tongue, it means action by the tongue. Yeah? And those who are saying it's a belief by the heart, if you analyze the belief by the heart, what is the work of the heart? The work of the heart is, number one, to believe the news which is coming to you. Yeah? And what else? To make intention all the time, good intention. Can the heart do anything else? If you take the news as they come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, analyze it in your mind and then establish it in your heart as this is the correct news. Yeah? And then you do intention to go to Islam, and every time intention to do the salah, intention to do the prayer, intention to do the hajj, intention to do jihad, intention to do fasting, intention to do this, intention to do that. So what is the heart in short? It is the work of the heart is what? What is the action of the heart? Is intention. So those who are saying even that iman is a belief by the heart, they mean also action by the heart. Because you know what is the short of the word belief? It is whatever established and backed by the action. So the heart, whatever established in the heart, is taking the news from the Quran as it is the correct news. And what is the action by the heart? Is the niyyah. They're renewing niyyah all the time. I want to go to learn. This is niyyah. Fast, niyyah. Jihad, niyyah. Everything, it has niyyah. So in short, and also they say it's action by the body. Going to pray, raising your hand, going down, going up, take a stone, throw it to the shaitan, another stone, you kiss it. It's all that's from Allah. Things are different. You deal with them different, even though they have the same nature of thing. So in short, some of the ulama, they said, in short, iman means action. In short, iman means action. Action by the tongue, by saying, ordering, making dhikr. Action by the heart, believing the news, taking the news as they come from Allah and doing the niyyah. Action by the body, doing jihad, doing hajj, doing, earning in the cause of Allah and working in the cause of Allah. So in short, you can say iman is the action. Iman is the action. So don't be surprised when you read in the Quran, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, لهم دار السلام عند ربهم وهو وليهم بما كانوا يعملون. That they will have, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, that they will have دار السلام, the place of paradise, a place of peace at Allah's, at the hereafter, inshallah, عند ربهم. وهو وليهم, and He is their ally, He is their supporter, He is their strength, bima kanu ya'malun, with whatever they used to do. Now here he did not say with whatever they used to believe. Huwa liyuhum bima kanu ya'malun, and he is their Allah, he is the supporters because of what they used to do. Because of what they used to do. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising the people to go to paradise and to become his Allah according to their action. Can anybody say, okay, the Catholics, they are doing very good action, but they don't believe? We say no, because action here, it means everything. It means action by heart, belief and intention. Action by tongue, saying the shahada and saying zikr. Action by body, fighting the kafirs and helping the Muslims and performing the prayer and this. You understand? So here, there's a group of people have been promised paradise only because of their action. And this means iman is the action. Iman, in short, is the action. And the word ya'malun means working. It means working by all, the whole entire body and soul in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people will be promised fire, hell, because of their action. Never mind what is their belief. Like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people of the fire hell. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس لهم قلوب. لا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن سورة السجدة الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد ولكن حق القول مني لأملأن جهنم من الجنة والناس أجمعين فذوقوا بما نسيتم لقاء يومكم هذا إنا نسيناكم وذوقوا عذاب الخلد بما كنتم تعملون. يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد in سورة السجدة that we have forgotten you as you forgotten us and take the suffering, the punishment, the torment of the fire hell and be everlasting in the fire hell because of what you've done. So here there is another kind of people are being promised torment and painful punishment because of what they did, regardless of what they believe. And we know also some of the people of the Ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ, although they have the right tawheed, but they will taste fire hell. So in short, iman is action. And if the word action, يعملون, work, is mentioned alone, it means action by heart, by tongue, by the body. You understand this? So this is an important feature to understand some of the definitions of the iman. There is many hadith about iman in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari. Sometimes you find Rasulullah ﷺ said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانِ? Do you know what is iman? They said what? He said, iman is to pay one-fifth of your ghanima, and to say la ilaha illallah, and to do tawheed, and to do this. And the other hadith, they say, iman is to do this and to that, and not to drink in these pots. And so there is many, it shows you that really iman has many branches. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he was introducing iman to people as basically tawheed and also some action. Basically tawheed, some say, some action. So many different. If I try to define iman as being said according to the Quran and the Sunnah, it will be endless. I just give you a quick short definitions about iman. Coming back to our questions, Islam is defined by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many of the hadith as it is saying la ilaha illallah, شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وإقام الصلاة. You may say the شهادة لا إله إلا الله and محمد رسول الله, and you perform the prayer, إقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة, and you perform the payment of the zakah, وصوم رمضان, and fasting Ramadan, and doing pilgrimage to the holy shrine of Islam, Mecca, once a time, لمن استطاع إليه سبيله, for whoever have the ability to do so. Yeah. In the other hadith, Islam is being divided not only by five portions, by eight portions. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الإسلام ثمانية أسهم, Islam is eight portions. فالإسلام سهم, he means Islam, he means توحيد is one portion. والصلاة سهم, and praying is another portion. والزكاة سهم, and fasting is paying charity, sadaqah, is one portion. والصوم سهم, and fasting is another portion. والحج سهم, and pilgrimage is one portion. والأمر بالمعروف سهم, and enjoining the good, ordering the good, is a portion. والنهي عن المنكر سهم, النهي عن المنكر سهم, and forbidding the evil or stopping the iniquity is a portion. والجهاد في سبيل الله سهم, and jihad in the cause of Allah is a portion. وقد خاب من لا سهم له, and indeed he has been lost, he's been unsuccessful, the one who has no portion. So the thing, as you know well, can be divided into five and can be divided into ten, and if it's able to be divided, it could be divided into infinity. This is why if you divide Islam to infinity, you will find what? You will find that great ayah, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ, that if you divide Islam by infinity, it will become very, very small portions, and that will be that that one of the tafsirs of the ayah, that whoever make as a weight, as equal as the weight of an atom of good, he will find it, and whoever make as a good as the weight, as big as the weight of an atom, bad, then he will find it, like in Surah Al-Zalzala. So basically, if Islam and Iman are mentioned in the same ayah, it means that Islam is talking about the apparent action and Iman is talking about the heart action. You understand that? If the word Iman is mentioned in an ayah alone, it means Iman and Islam and Ihsan together. And if the word Islam is mentioned in one ayah alone, it means Iman and Ihsan. It means Iman and Islam together. Yeah? Shall I say again? Right. If the word is Islam, if the word Islam is mentioned in one ayah, or one hadith, it means Iman and Islam together. It has the same meaning. It has the meaning of the apparent action, which can be seen by everybody, like fasting, like praying, like doing pilgrimage, like announcing the Shahada. And also it means the inside belief, like believing in Allah and His angels and His, you know. So if the word Islam is mentioned alone in an ayah or hadith, it means all of them together. The apparent action and also the hidden action in the heart, which nobody can see, or in the mind. It means also is to believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and His divine destiny and the rest of the six pillars of Iman. The same thing, if the word Iman is mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah alone, it also has the same thing. It gives the impression and it has the consequences of whatever the apparent action as Islam and also the hidden action as Iman. Why? Because this is the way the Quran is talking about. It's talking all over and the Sunnah is talking all over. But if the two words Iman and Islam are mentioned in the same ayah or the same hadith, then each one of them will be taken care of its attributes. I.e. Islam, the word Islam will be talking about the apparent actions, and the word Iman will be talking about the actions by the heart or the belief by the heart, the hidden action. And we've seen this in the hadith of Jibreel narrated by Umar ibn Khattab, when the Jibreel, he came into the Sahaba to teach them about the religion. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And he came, as you know from the hadith, he came a man, his clothes is so white and his hair is so black and no one of us knows him, and he doesn't look like he has been traveling. And he sat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very close to him, and he asked him about Iman, and he asked him about Islam, and he asked him about Ihsan, as you know from the hadith. So the word Iman, Islam and Ihsan is being mentioned in the same hadith, and as you know from the hadith, we're going to read it inshallah, that the word Iman was meaning whatever the inside believe, and the word Ihsan was meaning the higher grade of Iman, and the word Islam was meaning the apparent actions, which is praying the Salah, announcing the Shahada, and doing the pilgrimage. Also, there is an evidence from the Sunnah, from the Quran, in the Surah Al-Hujurat, in the surah of the rooms, the chambers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that ayah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. Basically these two ayahs, it also approved for